The king says, "What's wrong with the Jews? Why should I get rid of them? After all, they pay taxes, they pay me money, and I never heard of them causing trouble." "Oh, yes, yes. First of all, the Jews are very lazy. You know, they don't like to work. You go to the store, a Jewish store, you want to buy something? Closed. And you ask why it's closed? Oh, today's Shabbos, we don't work today." "Well, they closed the store on Shabbos." You come back a few days later, the store is closed again. "Hey, why is the store closed again?" "Today's Yontif, the store is closed. Today's Yontif. Shabbos, it's Yontif. The store is always closed. It's either Shabbos or Yontif. And they don't eat our food. They eat their own food. And they have very strange things that they do. And in fact, they don't like the king. The Jews don't like you at all. They make fun of you. In fact, the Jews like a fly better than you." The king got very upset. "What do you mean? The Jews like a fly better than the king? Who ever heard of such a thing?" "Oh, of course," says Haman. "Take a glass of wine. If a fly would fly in the glass of wine, the Jews would dump out the fly and drink the glass of wine. But if you, king, if you would touch the glass of wine, the Jews would pour out the glass of wine and they wouldn't drink it. You know why? Because by them, a fly is better than the king." Now Haman is very tricky. He knows a little bit about Torah and he's using it in a tricky way against the Jews. There is such a halacha that if a goy is going to touch the wine, are you allowed to drink the wine? We just learned in the Rambam yesterday about Yain Nesech, wine that a goy pours or a goy touches. You're not allowed to use this wine. And wine that a fly flew in, you would be allowed to use the wine as long as you get rid of the fly, of course. That's the halacha. But Haman uses it tricky against the Jews to make it look like the Jews like a fly better than the king. And he's getting the king very angry about the Jewish people. And so the king says, "What do you want to do with these Jews?" And the king and Haman says, "I want to get rid of them. I want to kill them out in one day. Especially there's this Jew Mordechai who doesn't bow down to me. And all the Jews would not bow down to me. They don't believe like us in our getchkes, and they don't do things that we do. So I believe that all the Jews should be killed out in one day. It's better we don't have them in the kingdom at all." And the king says, "What about all the money they pay me for taxes?" And Haman says, "Don't worry. I have plenty, plenty of money. I'll give you all the silver, 10,000 silver shkalim, all the silver you want that they would pay you in a long time." And so they made a law that on Yud Gimel Adar of the coming year, the Jews are going to be killed in one day. But they made a tricky way. If the Jews find out that they're going to be killed out, who knows, maybe they're going to do something about it and the plan wouldn't work. So Haman made the plan like this. A law will go out in all the 127 countries that on Yud Gimel Adar, a certain people will be killed out, an enemy of the king, and all the people are able to help kill these people out, and whoever wants can go in their houses and take all of their things, take their silver and gold and money and their furniture and clothes. Whoever wants can kill them and take their things away. But nobody will know who the people are until it's going to become Yud Gimel Adar. A brand new letter will come to all the 127 countries, and that morning, and everybody will be waiting to hear who the people is, who the people are that have to be killed out, and they're ready with their swords and their knives. And all of a sudden, the officers of the king will announce, "And the people that you're supposed to kill out today are the Jews." And all of a sudden, the goyim will turn on the Jews and start killing them, and there won't be any way to escape. And there won't be any way to run away or to get out of it because it's a surprise. This is the Schlechte plan of Haman. And so Haman and the king sat down to drink and to celebrate that they're getting rid of the Jewish people. And Haman felt so proud of himself that he's going to get rid of Mordechai and all the Jews. And then everybody will bow down to him, and nobody will remain standing, that he shouldn't feel himself to be the greatest Mr. Metzias Bal Gaiva, officer of all. And so, Kinalach, it seems that it's going to be a plan that works. But that night, Mordechai had a dream. And in his dream came Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi told Mordechai that the Jewish people are in great danger. There's a gzeda against them in the Himmel. And the gzeda is that chas v'shalom, they should all be killed out in one day. And the reason for the gzeda is not because Mordechai didn't bow down. The gzeda is because 9 years before, the Jewish people went to the party of Achashverosh, and they had a good time over there, even though it was such a party that they shouldn't even be there. And because they went to that party, and they had a good time, and they enjoyed themselves, such a fagoyish the party, Hashem was very upset at them, and that's the reason for the gzeda. And now Mordechai knew that the Yidden have to do tshuva. Two things have to be now. The Yidden have to fix the Aveda. They have to do a lot of tshuva, come closer to Hashem, and they have to put right thing. They have to put things right between them and Hashem. And the next thing is that Mordechai has to do anything possible to change the king's mind that he should not go through with this terrible gzeda. And in the morning, Mordechai put on sackcloth, like potato bags. This is a sign that somebody, God forbid, was in a velus, that somebody had died and something terrible was happening. And he put ashes on his head, like the ashes of the burned Beis HaMikdash, which this is what people did on Tisha B'Av, like we make ashes at the Yisurus HaMafsekes, and it's a sign of sadness. And Mordechai went out into the street crying, and people, the Yidden, saw that something is wrong. They didn't know exactly what is wrong, but they see that something is wrong if their leader Mordechai is going out like that. And Mordechai went to the palace, and he wrote a note that he must see Esther the queen. It's very, very important. Now, they didn't let Mordechai into the palace because you're not allowed to go into the palace dressed up like that in potato bags with ashes on your head. And they called Esther the queen and they said, Mordechai HaYehudi wants to see you. And Esther came and Mordechai told her, the Jews are in very big trouble. Eliyahu HaNavi told me that there's a gzeda that all the Jews will be killed in one day. And Haman HaRasha made this gzeda. And it's very serious. And the reason is because the Yidden went to the party of Achashverosh. And now Mordechai says, I see why you have become the queen. You have become the queen because you are the closest one of all to Achashverosh. And you're in such a way now that you will be able to help against the gzeda. Because you are a Yid. And you are the closest one to the king. Now when Hashem makes a terrible thing happen, the way Hashem does it is it's called Refua Kaidim Lamaka. The Refua comes before the sickness. Hashem already prepares the way out of the trouble before the trouble happens. And now Mordechai says, now I know why you came to the palace and you became the queen, because you're going to be helpful to be the way out of the trouble, and Hashem already made this happen before the trouble happened, because now, just now happened the Gzeda, and you became the queen before. It means that Hashem wants you to help. But both Mordechai and Esther knew it's not enough that just Esther is going to go to the king, because what's the reason for the Gzeda? The Yidden did something wrong. Who has to do tshuva? The Yidden. And Esther says, gather all the Yidden together in Shushan HaBira, and they should fast for me 3 days and three nights. They shouldn't eat or drink anything for 3 days and three nights. And they should do tshuva. She said, tilim, learn Torah. The kinolach should daven, and the mommies and tatis should daven, and everybody should do tshuva for what they did wrong. And then I'm going to have to go to the king, but it's going to be very dangerous. I don't even want to go to the king. Mordechai says, what's wrong? She says, the king is in a special room that nobody's allowed in there, and he's been in there for 30 days. The only one that goes in the room is if the king calls that person, and the king invites that person. In case somebody goes into that room and the king did not call them, they will be killed. That's the law. Nobody goes there without being called. And the king has not called me for 30 days. So if I go there, I'm in danger of being killed because I'm not invited. And anyway, Yud Gimel Adar, the day that the Jews are going to be killed, God forbid, is going to be in a long time, because this was happening around Pesach time. The story of when the Gezeirah was made and Mordechai found out and he came to the palace, this is happening right before Pesach. And in fact, the 3 days of fasting, one of them is going to have to be Pesach. And Adar is many, many months after Pesach, because Purim happens a month before Pesach. So if you're already holding by Pesach, Adar is going to be in 11 months. Esther says, why should I go now to the king? What's the big emergency? I'll wait till he calls me. I'll wait until it's safe to go into the king, and then I'll talk to the king. And Mordechai shook his head. He says, no, you have to go now. First of all, now the Yidden will find out about the Gzeda. They've already seen me going in the sackcloth and the ashes, and they'll be aroused to do tshuva, and we need you to go to the king when the Yidden are doing tshuva. And second of all, this is the month of Nisan, and the month of Nisan is a very special month for tefillah and for tshuva, and it's the word Nes and the word Nisan. We need a Nes from Hashem. We're not going to wait till after Nisan. Now is the time to do it, now, not later. So you have to go to the king, and now is the time, at the right time, you have to tell the king who you are, that you're a Yid. Because that's going to help. If the king finds out that he made a law to kill all the Jewish people, and his own wife is a Jew, and he wants to kill her also, this is what's going to help save the Jewish people, as long as the Yidden are going to do tshuva. And so, Kinalach, Mordechai left, and he gathered all the Yidden, and he told them what was happening. And the Yidden were very afraid, and they had now to do a lot of tshuva, and they were crying, and they were gathered in the shuls, and the kids were making big rallies and giving tzedakah, and the mommies and tatis were doing whatever they could, and they were fasting. And one of the days they fasted, Kinalach, was the first night of Pesach. That year they did not eat matzah, and they did not eat maror, and they didn't have a seder, at least not with food, because it was such a big danger for the Jewish people. They had to fast even then. And now, Kinalach, after 3 days and three nights, and even Esther was fasting, it was time that she goes into the king, and he had not called her. She put on her special clothes of the queen, and she could hardly walk. She was so weak. Imagine not eating for 3 days and three nights. And she goes now into the courtyard, and at the other side of that courtyard is like an inside yard, is the room that the king is sitting on his special throne, and he did not call her. And now anybody that goes over there will be killed. But Mordechai says she has to go. And with Mesiras Nefesh, she goes across and stands in front of the king's room. And as soon as the king saw Esther come without permission, he got very, very angry. And he wanted to call his guards right away. And he wanted to have her killed. Because nobody is allowed to come to the king without being called. And that's the law. But all of a sudden, a ness happened. Because the law also says that if the king stretches out his, it's called a sharvit hazahav, a golden thing that a king has, it's like a stick with a ball on the end, made out of gold. A king holds this. If the king sticks out this sharvit hazahav towards the person that comes, then that saves the person's life. And that's only if the king decides to do that. And the guards saw that Esther was coming without permission, and they saw the king was getting very angry, and they were getting ready to take her, to kill her, when all of a sudden a malach came, and he took the king's arm, and he schlepped out his arm, he stretched it out, and his golden sharvit hazahav was pointing towards Esther. And also the king changed his mind. The malach gave him a little zetz in his head, and he changed his mind that he wasn't so angry anymore. And now Esther comes to the king, and he says, Esther, why do you come all of a sudden? Don't you know your life is in danger? I didn't call you for all this time, and now you come? Something is happening. Something is wrong. What's the emergency? And she says, King, there's something that I have to tell you, and it can't wait. There's a little secret that I have that you always beg me, please tell me the secret, and I never tell you, right? Yes, Esther, I always want to know where you're from, who's your family, where were you born, who your parents were, where you're from. You never tell me anything. And Esther says, okay, I'll tell you something. This evening, I would like to invite you and Haman to a special party. And over there, the special party, we'll have wine and we'll have food. And over there at that party, I'm going to tell you who I am and where I'm from. Oh, the king says, I'm so happy. I can hardly wait for that party. So you want me to come and also Haman? Yes, you and Haman, please come to my party. Okay. And Esther left and she got ready. A little party. Now, she said it has to be a wine party because it was Pesach and she couldn't have any chametz tikka things over there. So she only made like nuts and things that were kosher la Pesach. And the king is getting ready to come to the little party. And he's thinking to himself, I wonder why she wants Haman to come. After all, Haman is my big officer. But I don't know why Esther wants to invite Haman to a party with me. It bothered the king, but he didn't know why exactly it bothered him. And that evening, Haman and the king come to this little party with Esther. And Haman feels himself so good. Oh, I'm invited to a party with the king and the queen. I'm so important that I get to be invited to this party and nobody else, just the king and the queen. And they sit down to eat and drink. And the king says, Esther, please tell me the secret that you always said you'd tell me about who you are and where you're from. And Esther felt that it's not the time to tell yet. And she says to the king, King, this evening I feel I'm not so exactly, I don't feel so good. And I think that tomorrow evening, I'm going to make another party. It'll be a nicer party. After all, I didn't have really a lot of time to get together such a nice suda for you and Haman. a nice meal. So tomorrow evening, I'd like to invite you and Haman again to another party. And then I'm going to tell you my secret. And the king was very, very happy. Okay, Esther, I like parties. So tomorrow night, I'll come to the other party. And Haman says, thank you, queen. I'm also going to come to the party. And now the king goes back to his throne. And Haman decides he's going to go home. And he's going to brag to everybody. He's going to tell everybody about these parties that he gets to go to with the king and the queen. And how important he is. And he leaves the palace. And he's feeling himself so good. And on the way out, he goes to the gate where all the officers are there, and they all bow down to him, except for Mordechai. Mordechai is standing up, and he just picks up his shoe a little bit and smiles. And Haman gets very angry. And he can't stand it that Mordechai doesn't bow down. And now he comes home, and he's happy and upset at the same time. Zeresh! Zeresh, boys, my sons, come here. Friends, I want to tell you the good news. Oh, yeah, Daddy, we're coming. Zeresh is coming. Yeah, Haman, we're coming. All of his friends are coming. Oh, yes, Haman, it's good to see you. Oh, yeah, I've got good news to tell you. You know, not only I'm a big officer in the palace and I'm so important and everybody bows down to me, but you know where I was tonight? At a party. And you know who was at the party? Only the king and the queen and me. No other officers. I'm so important. And you know where I'm going tomorrow night? Another party. A special party. Nobody gets to go. Only the king and the queen and me. That's it. I'm the most important person in the whole kingdom. I'm almost more important than the king himself. Oh, Haman, you're so good. Yeah, Daddy, you're the best. Yeah, I know. A Balgaiva, Mr. Metzias, he was. But he says, you know, something bothers me. And the whole time I'm bothered and I don't feel good like I want to feel good. Because when I go through that gate and everybody bows down, that Mordechai the Jew doesn't bow down. Yeah, but Zeresh says, Haman, don't worry, in a few months, when your plan goes through and they kill all the Jews, so Mordechai won't bow down to you anymore. Yeah, but Haman says, I can't wait, Zeresh. I can't wait almost a whole year, and every time Mordechai is going to be standing there showing me his shoe, I can't wait. I want now that he should be dead. I want now to get rid of him. In fact, I think that before the party tomorrow night, I am going to get rid of Mordechai even before I get rid of all the other Jews. That's right. I think I'm going to have Mordechai killed. I'm going to ask the king's special permission to kill Mordechai because since Mordechai is a Jew and he does not bow down to me, and he does, I'm sure the king will agree that I'm allowed to kill that Mordechai before all the other Jews. And now, let's think of a good way to kill Mordechai. Oh, I'll be very, very happy if he's dead by tomorrow night. Then by the party, I'll feel myself real good. I know what. And Haman says, I have a good idea. I'll go to Achashverosh, and I'll tell him we'll build a fire, a big fire, and we'll throw Mordechai in the fire and burn him up, and then that'll be the end of him. And Zeresh says, Haman, when you were in barber school, didn't they teach you anything? Don't you know you're starting up with a Jew? You're starting up with the leader of the Jews, with Mordechai? You have to be pretty smart, and you have to be pretty tricky to outdo a Jew. Because don't you know what it says in the Torah? Starting up with a Jew is like starting up with Hashem. And a person that goes against a Jew, he's going against Hashem. You can't do things that have already been shown to not work. Didn't they teach you in barber school about Avraham, who was thrown into a fire? What happened to Avraham in the fire? Nothing. Hashem made it. The fire shouldn't even burn him. He was walking around there for 3 days, like in a garden. And nothing happened. And he came out. And after that, Avraham became greater than before even. You can't throw him into a fire. That is for sure not. That's not going to work. Haman says, don't worry. I'm going to ask Ahasuerus a different thing. We'll chop off his head. Simple. Take a sword, chop off Mordechai's head, and that's it. No more Mordechai. Without a head, he's finished. Zeresh says, Haman, don't you have any seichel in your cup? Don't you know what it says in the Torah about Moshe Rabbeinu? That Paroi wanted to chop off his head, and he took a sword, he took his executioner, and one after the other, swords broke, his head turned into like, his neck turned into like stone, and it broke 10 swords. And in the end, the ropes just were broken, and he ran away. A sword is not going to work against a Jew. And Haman says, Zeresh, don't think I'm not smart. I can think of many ways. We'll take Mordechai, and we'll drown him. We'll throw him off a boat in the middle of the ocean, and we're going to drown Mordechai in the ocean. Simple. And Zeresh shows her smile and her teeth. Haman, you wish you were smart. You wish it, but you're not going to be. Because, don't you know what it says in the Torah? The Jews went in the ocean, they went in the water, and it split for them. Miracles happened in the Yamsu for them. And when the Mitzrim got in, they all died. The ocean turned around and killed the Mitzrim and let the Jews go through. Water is not going to work against any Jew. And Haman says, Zeresh, I am smart because there is a way we can kill him. Wild animals will throw him into the lions. Hungry lions will eat him up and he'll be finished. And Zeresh says, don't you remember what happened just a while ago? And Daniel was in there and the lions licked his feet like little pussycats and they didn't eat him up because he's a big tzaddik. And an animal, a wild animal, will leave alone a tzaddik? For sure this Mordechai is a tzaddik. You have to think of a way that was never used before and never was used before that worked against the person that used it. Well, Haman said to Zeresh, maybe you could think of a way. Hey, my smart wife. And Zeresh says, okay, what about hanging? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that somebody was hanged up with a rope around his neck. Haman says, oh, that's a good idea. We'll hang Mordechai, and that will work. We'll hang him from a tall, tall place. And in fact, it'll be so tall that when I'm sitting at the party with the queen and the king, I'll look out the window and I'll see Mordechai hanging on that tall tree. Oh, it's a wonderful idea. And so Kinalach, they were up the whole night getting ready the place to hang Mordechai. Haman says to his son Parshandasa, go out, Parshandasa, and find me a very long, long piece of wood that we can make over there, a thing with a rope to hang Mordechai. And Parshandasa goes outside and he's looking all around for a long piece of wood. He looks in the backyard, he can't find one. He goes over the fence out into the fields, he can't find one. He goes out into the mountains and he climbs up the mountain, and on the top of the mountain he found a long piece of wood. And he tore it off and he brought it down. And he says, Daddy, you're not going to believe this, but I was on top of a mountain, and you know where I got a piece of wood from? You know, want to see one of these long, see this long piece of wood? Oh, Haman says, Parshandasa, I'm proud of you. You're such a good boy. You got a long piece of wood. Where did you get that long piece of wood? Oh, well, Daddy, you're not going to believe it, but on top of this mountain was a gigantic boat. It was a very big boat, and it had 3 floors. Oh, Parshandasa, you're telling me stories on top of a mountain was a boat? Come on, boats are not on top of a mountain. Oh yeah, Daddy, it's true. Now this kinalach was the Teva of Noach, and Parshandasa ripped off a piece that was 50 amas long from the Teva of Noach. And that's the piece of wood that they wanted to hang Mordechai on. A 50